Thank you, choir, for giving us that gift of song and leading us in song today. Morning. So our scripture reading today comes from the Gospel of Mark, as Jesus and his disciples are traveling about the region of Galilee, preaching to ever-growing crowds. One day, when evening had come, Jesus said to the disciples, "Let us go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd behind, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was. Other boats were with him. A great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that the boat was already being swamped. But he was in the stern, asleep on a cushion, and they woke him up and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we're perishing?" And waking up, he rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Be silent, be still." Then the wind ceased, and there was a dead calm. He said to them, "Why are you afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great awe, and they said to one another, "Who is this then, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" We are, as Karen said, continuing in our sermon series, Can We Keep Christ in Christian?, based on the book Christ in Crisis, Reclaiming Jesus in a Time of Fear, Hate, and Violence, by Jim Wallace. We're looking at Jesus of the Gospels and asking questions about what it means to truly be a Christ follower. This morning's question is, what about fear? How do we respond to fear as Christ followers, given that we live in a culture that often uses fear, real, imagined, or media-driven, to achieve certain outcomes and behaviors? Now, the scripture I started with today is one of those that has always made me sympathize with the disciples. I mean, picture it. They're in this little fishing boat in the middle of this enormous lake. It's so big, we call it the Sea of Galilee. The waves are coming over the side. The wind is whipping around them. The boat is starting to fill up with water. It doesn't take much imagination to believe that they were absolutely terrified. I would have been. And they looked around for their leader, for their teacher, the man who seemed to have all the answers. And there he is, blissfully asleep and seemingly unaware of their peril. And it's understandable that they basically say, "Don't you care that we're all going to die?" Now, that statement, that question could be a whole nother sermon, so we're not going to go there. But I want to pay particular attention to what happens next. Jesus wakes up. He rebukes the wind and tells the sea to calm down, and it does. And then he turns to the disciples and says, "Why are you afraid?" I don't know about you, but it seems to me that fear would be a normal, healthy response to the conditions around them. Fear, after all, keeps us safe. My son, when he was really small, apparently had no fear. It was kind of a joke in our family that he just did not have a fearful bone in his body. He was constantly getting into situations where a little bit of fear might have been really beneficial. Jumping into the deep end of the pool before he knew how to swim, running with a shard of pottery in his hand and inevitably tripping and slicing open his face, and my personal favorite, and he was old enough to know better, sticking a bobby pin into an electrical socket just to find out what it did. Fear, just a little bit of fear, would have made our lives so much easier. But I don't think it's this normal, healthy emotion of fear and caution that Jesus was talking about in this passage, because Jesus asked them his question after the danger had already passed. The sea was calm. They were okay. And he said, "Why are you afraid? Have you still no faith. He wasn't criticizing their healthy and understandable emotion of fear during the storm. He was asking his followers, the Jesus followers, why, after all they had seen and all that he had taught them so far, why were they still living in a spirit of fear instead of a spirit of faith? Fear not. Be not afraid. We hear this over and over again in the Bible. Over 365 times, God or God's messenger tells someone to fear not. 365 times, enough for a daily devotional, a year-long daily devotional just on the subject of fear. But almost always, this statement is followed by another one. For I am with you. Or, for the Lord your God is with you. For I am with you. Fear not, because I am with you, God says. That's what it means to live in a spirit of faith instead of a spirit of fear. Believing that God is with you in all the storms that may rock your life. Jesus had been trying so hard to teach the disciples about what it meant to live in the spirit of faith. This scene in the lake comes immediately after a really long passage of teaching in parables and healing and even casting out demons. But to be fair, the disciples probably had no idea that Jesus could calm storms with just a word. I mean, after all, only God can do that, right? Oh, wait, maybe, no, it couldn't be that, could it? They asked, who is this then that even the wind and the sea obey him? It couldn't be that God was with them. The disciples' fear, whether it was fear of religious authorities or fear of being wrong, or fear of misplacing their trust, whatever it was their fear, their spiritual fear that was preventing them from seeing God right in front of them, preventing them from living in a spirit of faith. Now, I think all of us can come up with modern examples of people who choose to live in a spirit of fear. Fear, after all, is a political staple. Fear of they are going to take away something that should be yours. They are going to destroy your way of life. They want you to be a second-class citizen. They are ruining America. It's easy to see why politicians on both sides of the aisle, frankly, rely on this staple of fear, because it leads to votes. This is not the healthy, self-protective emotion of fear that keeps us safe, but this is a spirit of fear that leads to hate and injustice and even violence. But you know, there are many more people who would never buy into that kind of political hate. No, these are good-hearted, rational people, maybe some people still sitting here in the church today who still choose, for one reason or another, to live in fear. Fear that they're not good enough. Fear that their voice isn't loud enough. Fear that holds them back from speaking their truth, or applying for a new job, or simply telling someone that they love them. There are so many ways that people can choose to live in a spirit of fear. A life lived in this spirit of fear can hurt us and hurt others just as much as my toddler son's lack of physical fear. But we're in luck. We're in luck because the gospel writer Mark, he follows up this little scene in the boat, not with one, but two examples of folks who make the choice not to live in the spirit of fear. So I'm going to paraphrase what comes next, and as Mark tells us about these two folks. After Jesus had crossed over by boat, a large crowd met him at the seaside. And one of the synagogue leaders named Jairus came. And when he saw Jesus, he fell to his knees and begged, "My daughter is at death's door. Come and lay hands on her so she may get well and live." And Jesus went with him, and the whole crowd was tagging along, pushing and jostling and crowding around him. And somewhere in the crowd, there was a woman. We don't know her name. We don't know who she was, but she had been suffering from a condition, we're told, of hemorrhaging for 12 years. A long line of physicians had treated her and treated her badly, taking all of her money and leaving her worse off than she was before. But she had heard about this Jesus, and she was thinking to herself, "If I can just put a finger on his robe, I can get well." So she slipped in from behind and touches Jesus' robe. Immediately, she feels a change in her body, and she knows that she has been cured. At the same moment, Jesus feels that energy coming out of his body. He knows, and he turns around and says, "Who touched my robe?" And there's the disciples again. "Oh, master, oh, teacher, what are you talking about? There's all this huge crowd pushing and shoving and jostling at you. How can you ask who touched me? Everybody's been touching you." But Jesus kept on asking, and he looked around to see who had done it. The woman, the unnamed woman, knowing what had happened and knowing that she was the one, stepped up even though she felt afraid. She knelt down before him and gave him the whole story. And Jesus said to her, "Daughter, you took a risk of faith, and now you're healed and whole. Live well, live blessed." So while Jesus was still talking to the woman, lots going on in this scene, people came from Jairus' house, and they told Jairus, they said, "I'm sorry, your daughter is dead. Don't bother the teacher anymore. There's nothing anyone can do." But Jesus overheard them, and he said to Jairus, he said, "Don't listen to them. Just trust me." And he took Jairus and the child's mother, and they went into the child's room, and he grabbed the girl's hand and said, "Talitha kum," which means, "Little girl, get up." And with that, she was up and walking around, and they were all beside themselves with joy. Jairus and this unnamed woman, they came from two opposite ends of the social spectrum. Jairus was a leader of the synagogue. He was prominent. He was well-respected. He was probably wealthy. The woman? She was unclean, rejected, shunned by both the synagogue and probably her whole village. But both of them had something that the disciples obviously did not. They believed. They lived in a spirit of faith that the God they were looking for was right there in front of them. And they were both able to reach out, literally, reach out in this faith to touch the one who could help them. I have a post-it note that's on my desk at home where I can read it all the time, and it simply reads, "Faith moves forward." It's a simple reminder to me that when I feel stuck or discouraged or angry, that like Jairus and this woman, I can reach out, I can take action, I can take risks, or even just take a very first step toward solutions, because my faith tells me that God is with me. But we don't have to look back on examples in the Bible to see folks who move forward in faith. There are people all around us moving forward through faith. And faith not just that God is with them, but faith also that they have been given the gifts and the grace and the ability to make change. And faith that others will join them, support them as they move forward. I think of the parents and the kids of Uvalde who are pushing for accountability and rational gun control to protect the lives of school kids. They are moving forward in faith. I think of teachers in Texas and all around the country who are standing up against book bans and laws that keep kids from using whatever pronoun lets them truly be seen. Moving forward in faith. And I think of all the folks of all genders who are standing up for a woman's right of choice and bodily autonomy and adequate health care, moving forward in faith. People like these move forward even when the odds are stacked against them, even when they feel afraid, because they have faith that they are not alone. Faith moves forward. God is like a loving and protecting parent, guiding us and encouraging us as we step forward. Now, I saw a little video clip this week. It was making the rounds of YouTube and all over, and I'm going to see if we can show that clip today. There we go. Maybe. We'll give it a second.
Did it scare you or did it hurt you? The drop-in was amazing. You know that, right? Sometimes we just slip out on the ramp.
What if I fall again? Well, I'm kind of scared and I really want to do it.
Sometimes it's scary doing hard things. And it's totally up to you whether you want to give it a go right now.
Well, I'm scared that I'm going to fall.
We can skip this. You don't have to do this.
I want to. Whoa, it's...
It's okay.
Well, okay. Catch me. Okay, so I'll do it. One.
That was a great job doing that after falling. It's really brave. And
is my foot okay back?
Yeah, it looks amazing. And then just lean forward and stomp and bend your knees. And I'll be here in case you fall.
Mm-hmm. You promise you'll catch me?
So do your thing, and I will be here the whole process. Here, and here, and here, and here, and here,
okay.
And here.
Whoa.
Whoa.
One, two, three. Swim.
I want to say that I think that's really amazing that after that fall, you've gotten up and you've worked through that fear and you're dropping in again.
One,
two, Sam. Woo! Wow, you're cruising that ramp. Here, let's do the next one. Boom, boom, boom. I am stoked for you. That's really cool that you did that.
I am stoked for her too. I saw that this week and I thought, that's what we're talking about. A parent, a father, a mother, our friend, our companion, who is there with us every step of the way. We have been given not a spirit of fear, but a spirit of faith. And remember, even if we only have a little smidgen of faith, even if you only have a teeny tiny little mustard seed of faith, even if you're only hanging on to faith with your fingertips, Jesus said we could move mountains. So my friends, I'm going to leave you with this. Do not be afraid. Fear not. For the Lord your God, love incarnate, unconditional, immeasurable, and incorruptible, is with you. Jesus, the Jesus we follow, was very clear. Live in faith, not in fear, because faith moves forward. Amen.